Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Bottom of the barrel Halloween food. I'll start. I'm ready to make people mad here. Smarties?
No.
Whoa.
No.
Whoa.
You don't. Who needs Smarties?
I'm not.
You're offered a lifetime supply of Smarties. It's a silent auction. You're at a golf tournament. There's a lifetime supply of Smarties. How much would you bid for that?
I'd bid $300.
$300? You know what? I'll take $300 from you right now, and I'll give you Smarties every day. And by day six, you'd be like, I've had the previous five packs. I haven't opened them yet. I can't decide if it's crazier that you ate a Cobb salad in a movie theater or would pay $300 for a lifetime supply of Smarties.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Still the leading bid.
That's right. Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. Lifetime supply of Smarties at a silent auction, Scott. Are you going above $300?
I go to 30 cents. My mom used to like those circus peanuts. I never understood that either. Stick with the hits. You know, the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is undefeated.
Yep.
Who doesn't like a Twix or a Snickers or Kit Kat? That's where you go with candy.
Starts and sits of the fantasy candy lineup. Other sits.
Those are your first rounders,
well,
right?
Yeah.
Those are your keeper picks.
Those might be your receivers, though. I mean, what about the fruit candy might be the running backs? That's a different position. We got to start someone there.
Starburst and Skittles are your hero RBs.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway.
Sweet darts.
Scott Pianowski, we always chat fantasy Yahoo Sports writer Scott Pianowski. We had movement. I mean, the Deontay Johnson trade. We had injuries. Stephon Diggs. I've had a lot of stuff happening. Keon Coleman's emergence with the Bills. So we'll start to dig down into all of it. First, let's go with tonight's game, Scott. Where does a Houston offense go now that, I mean, Collins is going to come back and Diggs is out for the year? I wonder if they're going to make a move for a receiver, if they've got enough pieces there. But C.J. Stroud, explosive plays, like the Houston offense, maybe you thought you were getting a lot if you bought in there, and right now it is not in good shape.
Yeah, you know, usually different season, you'd say, oh, maybe we'll make a trade, and you're kind of winking because people don't make trades in the NFL. But that's changed in the last few seasons, and we've seen so many of them this year, and there are a lot of teams that are kind of down and out. I think they need to add something. Collins is still ninth in receiving yards, by the way, with all the time he's missed, which is just crazy. It speaks to a lot of different things, how great he is and how many other guys have gotten hurt. They've had trouble protecting Stroud. Joe Mixon has become the linchpin of that offense. A little bit more Dalton Schultz last week, although he's been a disappointment overall. And Tank Dell, I don't think, has been healthy the whole season. You with all the injuries, you'd think, oh, well, Tank Dell must be having a great season. He's missed time. He hasn't looked explosive. Somehow they're 6-2. It feels like both of these teams should be 4-4. The Jets have been probably unlucky to be 2-6. I don't know how Greg Zuerlein is still their kicker. It seems like everything that can go wrong at the wrong time happens for those guys. They couldn't stop Jacoby Brissett from a game-winning touchdown drive last week. You deserve to lose when that happens. But I don't think Houston's as good as their record. I don't think the Jets are as bad as their record. I've been joking all year. I want to unsubscribe from the Jets. I don't know why. They're like the Broncos were last year, where they're on national TV constantly, and we just want to watch anything else but the New York Jets. But that's what we get tonight. I think the Jets actually have a decent chance to win. But Houston, I believe they know Collins is coming back, and he's a needle mover. It won't be this week, but in a couple of weeks. But I think there's probably a 50-50 chance that they add something before the deadline closes, which is next Tuesday.
How about the Jets and Devontae Adams, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall? I tend to agree. Like the Jets are probably not this bad. They gave the Bills a game and missed a couple of kicks along the way, and we think the Bills are pretty good. So looking at the Jets and their offensive potential tonight, do you like Adams and Rodgers to get things on the right page eventually?
Yeah, I mean, Adams has been a disappointment to this point. And normally you think, well, it's a new team, but him and Rodgers have all those back reps. And you know, basically, Rodgers runs the offense anyway. You would think that it would look better than it has. I've been encouraged by how good Wilson has been. I think 300-yard games in the last four. And you know, Hall is more efficient last week than Allen, although Allen got 12 carries. He got the touchdown. So I wouldn't be shocked if Allen was maybe their designated scorer, even though Hall is a much better player. Adams is 32. He doesn't look anywhere near as explosive. You look at some of these guys, DeAndre Hopkins comes to mind too. Well, they were never separation guys, right? They were always, they beat you because they're technicians, and they beat you with the back shoulder throw, and they beat you with leverage, and they don't run away from people. I mean, you get almost no yards after catch with Hopkins anymore, and that's the type of player when they're in their 30s now, you just wonder if a cliff comes. Devontae Adams, I still think you have to play. I would need a productive game from DeAndre Hopkins before I would want to start him. We still have 30 teams in play this week. Only the Steelers and 49ers sit out. But there was a big Devontae Adams game, I'd be looking to get out of the Devontae Adams business for fantasy because Garrett Wilson is still the number one there. I think everybody can see that.
To the Bills offense a little bit, Scott, where would you want to have someone? Where would you want your chips to be down? Because Coleman is really starting to pop a little bit. I saw you tweeting about James Cook and his touchdowns this year. Like, he's already way past where he was last year. But I guess it comes whether you have faith that's going to continue. So when it comes to their weapons, Kincaid too, like, I guess how would you, where would you want to have, who would you want right now? Coleman, would he be the guy? Are you trusting Cooper is going to get back after not much last week?
It's a great question. You know, before the season, I thought the Packers and the Bills were the two teams where it's like, there's got to be right answers here, and I wish I knew who the right answers were. And now we're 2 months into the season, we're Halloween night, and I'm not sure who the right guy is. I like how Coleman has gotten better. It's not uncommon for rookie receivers to see a spike in the middle of a season when they get a little bit more comfortable with what they're doing. And just Allen understands that any pass thrown to Keon Coleman can be a completion, even if there isn't separation. He's got those basketball skills. He knows how to win contested catches. I've been encouraged by that, and he's been productive even with Cooper coming back. I realize Cooper didn't play a lot in that first week, and then Cooper was disappointing last week. If you gave me my choice of any of the guys, though, I think I would take Cook. And the main reason why is because last year when you talked about that tweet, 15 rushing touchdowns for Allen, only two for Cook. I realize Murray had a handful of them too. This year it's seven for Cook. It's only three for Allen. And I believe Allen's most pass attempts this year is 34. They haven't gotten in shootouts. Not that they aren't equipped to do it, but I realize there are a couple of games where the offense get a little bit off script. But it feels like this is just the most balanced offense we've seen in Buffalo for a while. And the passing game is just so splintered. I mean, Shakir has that great catch rate. Wonderful game last week, but there's going to be games where he only gets targeted four or six times, doesn't have a ton of touchdown equity. Kincaid's a good player, maybe not a great player. Maybe they'll get Samuel back at some point. Obviously, Cooper's here now in a multi-feed. So I don't think this is cheating. If you gave me any player on the offense, I would take Cook. If I had to take a receiver, man, if I wanted the single, I'd take Shakir. If I wanted to play for the home run, then Cooper or Coleman would be pretty interesting.
You mentioned the rookie, you know, kind of breakout in the middle of a campaign. Like that Rashee Rice was this a little bit last year where it really started popping at the end. Is there anyone else that you're thinking like that's on the way for that hasn't done it already? Like Neighbors obviously is getting like, what, 15 targets a game? But like I know Worthy is starting to get more targets at least, Adunze maybe a little bit. Like, is there another rookie out there that you think this could be true of in the next couple weeks?
Man, Adunze, only 5.3 targets per game, and they're kind of hiding Caleb Williams. I think we have to wait until next year for him. If they can, I realize it's hard to put any faith in Carolina, but if they can coach up Bryce Young to just be quasi-competent or maybe Dalton plays again, you would think Xavier Leggett's in a really good spot. They've traded Johnson. If they can get anything for Adam Thielen, they'll probably trade him too. And at age 34, we can't expect much from Thielen. I would think Leggett has a decent chance to be their leading receiver for whatever that means. I also hope they keep Chuba Hubbard involved even when Brooks comes back. If even Brooks does come back, that's not a guarantee yet. Brian Thomas Jr. is too obvious. I mean, obviously, he was spreading his wings as it were. Thankfully, the injury isn't as serious as we would have worried about. Burks out now. Gabe Davis is dinged up. Trevor Lawrence has started to play a little bit better, so that's been encouraging. Coleman's a guy, I'll tell you, we've seen it the last 2 weeks. I think Coleman could score four or five touchdowns the rest of the year. I think that's in play. I want to trust Leggett. I want to go to Leggett. I'm just afraid Bryce Young could just take the offense off script, but I like what I've seen from him so far.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. You know, Scott, I feel like this is a question we maybe asked the last 2-3 years, and I guess my question is this the new norm, or is it another really good receiver class? Because if you think about the guys in the first 2-3 rounds, they are almost all living up to expectation, and those that aren't might be part of bad offenses. Like even Ladd McConkey has started to really fire off for the Chargers. Like the two disappointments, if there are two or three, it might be Worthy and Pearsall, and if you wanted to say Leggett, and two of the three of those are parts of offenses that don't click. Like the Worthy problems, I actually think are Mahomes problems. We're still living in a world where Mahomes is, and that Kansas City offense is kind of the issue. But anyway, the bigger picture is young receivers are doing it again.
Great class, yeah. Although in New England, they're starting to get those N'Keal Harry vibes from Jalen Polk to this point. It's just crazy how many right answers there were. I'm so glad you mentioned McConkey, who people talk about, oh, you know, he's a nice slot receiver. He played outside a lot at Georgia and probably would have had better stats if not for, one, he was hurt part of his career at Georgia, and two, they were just smothering teams so much they never had to get the passing volume. You know, they would run the ball, work on the clock, stuff like that. So that shielded what his true upside is, and even shielded a little bit with the Chargers now because they play bully ball. We know Harbaugh wants to control the game on the ground. They have started to throw a little bit more, but they're never going to be an aerial circus. It should be a fun game this week against Cleveland. And isn't it nice to have the Cleveland Browns back in the NFL with their quarterback change? Quarterback change is a big story in the NFL right now, too. But McConkey's a player I really like. I would love it if somehow they could find even 7 or 8 targets for him a game. He caught all 6 of them last week. We're never going to get 10 to 12. They're just not built that way. But I think his efficiency is really good. He's the number one receiver already on his own team, and we're always looking for guys who are the featured players.
Scott, now that we're just past the midway point of the fantasy regular season, I know deadlines are probably coming up next couple weeks for most people. Is there a big name that you think has been kind of a disappointment this year that you think you maybe could poach from a team? Maybe a team that's like, you know, on the fringe, you know. I thought about Tyreek Hill for this. I think he might be too big a name for this, though, because I know he's been disappointing given his ADP. But is there a guy that comes to mind for you of like, I think I could get that guy from whoever drafted him because he's not happy with him?
Chris Olave. Their offensive line is starting to get healthy again. Derek Carr is probably going to play week 9. Shahid, who was taking a lot of the Olave routes and catches, is unfortunately out for the year. And you know, Carolina this week, and if you're going to get him, you get him now because he could easily go off against Carolina, the best matchup you can have. And there's a lot of really good matchups in that division, right? I mean, Kirk Cousins has basically had a lost season, except he played Tampa Bay twice. He threw for 509 in one game. He threw for 4 touchdowns in the other game. So if you can get Hill, it may be hard to get Hill. Even a tiny discount on Hill, I'd be interested in. What they need to do, and I can't wait to see this game this week against Buffalo, is they were so intent on getting the ball out of Tua's hands last week, and it just took the explosiveness out of the offense. Tyreek Hill lives to get behind people, those intermediate and deep routes, but those plays take time to develop. They need to trust that they can do something, you know, that Tua can be protected for 3 or 4 seconds and let one of those passes go. And it's, you know, you see the design in offenses sometimes. I mean, the Bengals are really reluctant to do play action with Joe Burrow. He's usually in shotgun, where you can't do play action. Burrow doesn't like to turn his back to the defense, and you're just giving up a cheat code. And we saw, remember the Saints the first 2 weeks were all like, oh, you know, Kubiak, mm-hmm. what a great hire, and they're moving their receivers more pre-snap, and they're doing more play action. These are things they didn't do in the previous regime, and they beat the snot out of Carolina. They beat the snot out of Dallas. We didn't maybe realize at the time just Dallas isn't a good team, but yeah, I think Olave has a chance to go crazy. And also, this would be hard to get. You'd have to pay full market for this. But CeeDee Lamb last year after the bye, they just said, you know what, CeeDee Lamb's our guy. Let's just absolutely douse him in targets. Let's basically throw him the ball until he throws up, you know, to use the C.J. Spiller line. And bye week, they went to San Francisco. I know the team didn't look great, but CeeDee Lamb was fantastic. If I were drafting in a league right now and had the first pick, CeeDee Lamb would be my guy.
Another offense that is up off the mat, the Browns. And Jameis, of course, is a big factor there. But I want to give another name. And yes, I'm speaking selfishly, but Nick Chubb got 16 carries last week for 52 yards. Like, I've been waiting this whole time, Scott, in the Dynasty League to find out, is Nick Chubb one of these Adrian Peterson-level freaks that, yeah, he got the injury at 28 and he's supposed to be done. It's like, actually, no, he's going to be great for 3 more years and, you know, locking his Hall of Fame career. The fact that they have leaned on him as much as they have this early, to me, it's a surprise. 11 carries and then 16 carries, and he says he's starting to feel better.
Yeah, the efficiency hasn't been there. He did have a touchdown that first game, but at least the buoyancy of the offense goes up. They'll be in scoring position more. Teams will have to take the pass more seriously. It was just obvious that the confidence and the arm strength weren't there with Watson. The offense had no chance. So I think Chubb will be a great player to roster next year. I think it's going to be a little bit tough sledding this season, but they have a chance. The schedule is not that great, which is a shame because, you know, Jameis, all of his passes pretty much were to the receivers and to Njoku, their great tight end. I mean, Pillman got the big notices because he had the 2 touchdowns and he had a really good game the previous week, but Judy was involved, Elijah Moore was involved, And it was a full Jameis game, right? There were a couple of, what was that throw? I mean, they had a couple of picks that were dropped. If Kyle Hamilton latches on to the second one, the game's over. But it's just nice to see Hope back there, and Hope is Nick Chubb playing. Maybe not to Nick Chubb levels, but he's healthy enough to basically be their featured back. And that with Jameis in there, and we know he's going to throw picks, he's going to throw some mistakes. That's just who he is, but he's not afraid. And he will push the ball to his receiver. So, you know, Tillman was somebody, surprisingly, wasn't added that much in Yahoo League the previous week, so he was on waivers for this week, too. In a guillotine league, I actually dropped Diontae Johnson for Tillman last week, so I need somebody who could play. And I got Tillman for $1, so that felt pretty good. I actually didn't need Tillman's blow-up game. I wish I could put that on reserve. But it's just nice to see that offense have a chance now, because there were four or five offenses you didn't want to go near, and now the Browns, we don't have to put them under that heading anymore.
What? One last quick one, Scott. Would you, in any circumstance, drop Jordan Mason this week? He's injured, and he's had a couple weeks in a row where it's happened in-game. And McCaffrey is supposed to be back, but I guess who knows, right? So would you just hold him and just even as insurance for the rest of the year? What would you do with him?
I think you have to hold him. The thing that's really tricky is Garendo's looks very good when he's played too. So maybe Mason doesn't have the hammer lock on the number two job as much as we thought. Maybe that could be a timeshare if and when McCaffrey comes back. But I don't want to make any assumptions with McCaffrey's comeback. And I know it's hard. You know, they have Jennings. I'm keep waiting for him to come back. He's missed time. He had that one blow-up game. We knew Ayuk is out for the season. Pearsall looked, I thought, good. Maybe not great, but good last week. So a lot of moving parts of the Niners. But I want to see, I want to hold those guys if I can. And I know you have to play to your situation. If you have a losing record, maybe you have to play for what gives you the best week 9 opportunity. But what they do, their reveal after the bye week is going to be very illuminating. You can't always go by what teams say. It's what they do, what they call, what packages they're in, who they give first retargets to, those types of things. So I want to see. And the last week was a big reveal week. You know, Miami came back. We saw a reveal with them. Tampa Bay had to play without Evans and without Godwin. What are they going to do? Well, it turns out the big winner was their tight end, Kate Otten, who has been terrific for 2 straight weeks. They really didn't get any of the receivers going. We saw the Browns have a reveal week. First game with Winston. San Francisco's game in week 10 will be a reveal game, and we'll have to make major assumptions based on what they come out with.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. Thanks, Scott. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, guys.
You can follow Scott on Twitter at, Scott_Piano, WSKI. So Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports. Thursday night football tonight. We've got our Thursday 3-way parlay we'll put together. Texans and Jets. We'll do that.
All right. I want to see what Bobby Trees' odds are for this game.
Robert Woods?
Mm-hmm. He's probably going to be playing the dig spot, right? Like the interior slot role.
Yep.
I might want to see what the odds are there. He's old at this point, but he's still going. Also, fantasy season, if your team is good, like if you're like one of these, if you're 7-1 or 6-2, start looking already at who teams play in the playoffs.
Oh, yes.
Start looking for who's got favorable matchups. Maybe you even make trades based on that.
There were two teams for this that can I give you.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay and Las Vegas. The problem is they're kind of tough.
Yeah, because right? the Bucks are better for that.
The Bucks are better for
the Raiders
for that.
Only. Well, they have Bowers, I guess.
They have Bowers. They have, you know, Trey Tucker.
Jacoby Myers actually has been pretty good for fantasy. Right. He gets a lot of targets.
The Raiders play a weak defense. Yeah, a run. The Bucks were the one for me here. I was looking to poach some Baker Mayfield in some leagues just in case, but with no Godwin, maybe when Evans comes back, they'll be okay.
Evans, that's a good one. If you, because yeah, who does he play in the fantasy playoffs? He plays.
Is it Carolina and Atlanta, maybe? It's probably divisional matchups.
It would be the Chargers in your first playoff matchup, but then it's Dallas, and then it's Carolina in the championship
round. If you can get through the Chargers, maybe you got to buy.
And if you
get through the Chargers, because that's a low-event team and a low-event game. Yeah,
that's a good one. If you've got a great record, and maybe the guy who's got Evans is like 4-4.
Get Evans.
Go get Evans. Wait the couple weeks till he comes back, and yeah.
And you're betting on an injury, which might mean that person trading him is more likely to unload him.
Yeah, I like that.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I spent big in guillotine this week, finally.
Yeah.
Usually in guillotine.
McLaurin?
Yes. Yeah. No, I didn't get McLaurin. Usually in guillotine, I spend early and then wait, and I'm out of money by now. And that has worked for me to do that, to build the best team you can, the earliest you can. And this year, in a couple leagues, I hadn't really spent any money until now. So a little different strategy. You know, you can find your way multiple ways. Happy Halloween. What was your best ever Halloween costume?
Best ever Halloween costume. I might need a minute with this one.
2 years ago, my girlfriend and I did Bugs and Lola Bunny from Space Jam.
All right.
Felt pretty good about that.
Couple costumes are always good.
This year we did Han Solo and Leia.
Nice.
Like, we did like a thing with her family with like all of us did Star Wars.
Yep.
So her and her brother were Luke and Leia, which was a good combo.
A couple years ago, my wife decided that we decided that the twins and she and I were all going to be the songs of Elton John. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So our daughter was the Tiny Dancer.
Uh-huh.
My son was Rocket Man.
Right.
She, what was she? I was Crocodile Rock.
Yeah.
And she was, maybe I have this wrong. What was she? I don't remember.
I think my best ever might be the Joker. At least I put the most effort into that one. Whole thing. The purple suit, the white makeup with the
smile,
yep, the green hair. It was more like the cartoon Joker though, I would say, than the Heath Ledger Joker. Or the new one.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix.
There's another new one, and it's apparently so bad that people walk out because it's boring.
It's horrible. I've heard it's horrible.
Yeah, the
Joker. It's also a musical.
Okay, so everybody just decided no thanks.
Well, why is it a musical? Did you see the first one?
Yeah,
first one was great. Why is the second one a musical?
Nobody knows
why. It doesn't make any sense. They just decided, hey, we had this really good movie, got nominated for awards. Let's do a second one. No, let's make it a musical. What? Make no sense at all that they made it a musical.
I, by the way, do not remember. Oh, no, sorry. Okay, bringing up something else. Scratch that. I am told that there's a million superhero and comic book movies. I'm told that The Penguin is really good.
The Penguin?
Yes, I've not seen it. The Penguin. It's Colin Farrell. Apple TV, maybe?
HBO. HBO
okay,
Max.
There you go. I'm told that it's really very good. So there you go. That's not me recommending it. That someone recommended it to me.
This is a secondhand recommendation.
Yes, and I cannot actually vouch for it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I could say it. I've been told it's good.
Yeah, the first review I just saw is Tony Soprano meets Gotham, which sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, like a mob movie as he makes his way up, blah, blah, blah.
All right.
Thursday, three-way parlay. We'll build it. And at 9:45, we have been given permission to break the news. The Bills' legend of the game, Zach Jones, confirms Penguin is legitimately fantastic. There you go. Now two sources have told me. It's really good. We're going to break the news on the legend of the game for Bills-Dolphins. 9:45. Don't miss it.